Okay, so my name's James O'Keefe, and I own a few businesses, but my main kind of love, my passion, and the work that I believe is the thing that will change, like just change some, like do good for the world, is Unguarded Warrior. And we are what we are is a It's a difficult thing to describe, but it's a men's mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional movement. And when I say movement, it's because we're providing a space that men can, learn some new tools, some new techniques to manage the madness that goes on inside our heads every day. That's just what I believe is, really powerful about Unguarded Warrior.
Which is, I was going to say it's very powerful. I think that's like the key word here, powerful. And before we get into a bit more about what you're doing now, I always feel like it's important to reverse the clocks a little bit and work out who you were before. And am I right in saying you had like quite a hectic past, MMA, football, like almost like that real laddish culture in a way, which I've sort of had some involvement in as well myself. Is that right? And if so, how did you go from someone who was literally a warrior with their guard up to now someone who is the unguarded warrior and open to all these new experiences?
Nice, mate. Lovely, lovely question. I was the epitome of the worst kind of man there is. I was judgmental. I was bigoted. I was, when I was younger, I was racist. I was violent. I was scared. I was angry. I drink. I would treat women badly. Everything was about, my ego and proving myself, and because I didn't realize it's because I was such a scared little boy. And you've got these big tough men running around, like I thought I was, even though I'm not big, but that's another part of why I wanted to prove myself as something. I was into violence, at 14 I was a football hooligan. And from a young age, I was always fighting and into just that kid at school. You know what I mean? That naughty kid, that angry kid, that mad kid. And then, my dad, I kicked out of 15 and a half. I lived on the streets for a little bit, only a couple of nights, but it kind of changed me in a lot of ways. And then I moved in with my dad. He then kicked me out, and he died. He drank himself to death when I was 16. So it was just it, then it was just everything was mad. Then it was like, oh, this is now my ticket to go off the rails and just go mad. So I did, it was like, oh, it's okay. I've been validated in my victim, in my poor me, in my scarcity mindset. And I just went off the rails even more. I started dealing drugs, I started doing a lot of drugs. I got in with some bad people then. I managed to kind of move away. I moved away, funnily enough, 25 years this year. I moved because lived in London when I was younger, but I was living in Norwich then. And I moved back to London with a bin bag full of clothes. I was £7,000 in drug debt to some drug dealers who wanted to th literally threatened to drive a burning car through my girlfriend's house in Norwich, where my parents lived. And I just started my life as best I could again.
And is that what it was then? It was that real threat of if I don't do something, I am going to end up in serious trouble or dead. That was the thing that sparked it for you, or was there something else that you saw?
No, because even then, I still was doing drugs. I was still dealing a bit. I was still up to no good. I was still fighting, I was still drinking, I was still, being the womanizer. I was doing all of that stuff. It took me a long time. It took me until my late 20s, early 30s, when I really had to click out of it. I was educating myself. I was learning about, health, wellness, I knew I wanted to be better. I knew I wasn't happy with the man I was. And then I met my wife, who's obviously, my girlfriend then, and Beverly Knight, who is the singer and actress and all of that. And it made me really have to look at myself. And then I had to tell her about what I'd been like, because I didn't know whether it would come out in the paper. So I had to tell her, and that was a really hard experience, But there was still a lot of stuff I was hiding. I was still occasionally doing drugs. I was still doing this. I was still drinking too much. I was still, just not being true to myself. And then it was the journey. Then it just came. Then I really wanted to go into self-development and, self-help books and, different modalities of health and wellness and mindset and learning and reading and just becoming a sponge, of wanting to be better every day, mate. You know what I mean? Just really, just an appetite to change and to be better. And I'll be honest with you, the last 15, 16 years have been insane as well. I've had some really dark things. I lost everything I had. I've had, through no fault of my own, I had gangsters come after me with, trying to extort money out of me at gunpoint and shit like that. Mad shit, like mad. No, that didn't come from me being shady, but it was the things I was, the circle I was moving in still, So it was like, I'm a big believer in that I believe that we manifest what comes to us, and we give energy to the things that happen to us. Things aren't always our fault or our issue or whatever, but we've got a part in everything that happens to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and
So
it makes a lot of sense.
I believe that everything we do has a consequence, and I wasn't being true to myself still in a lot of ways. So these things, I believe, come from that,
I've had it myself as well on different levels where I felt like I had to make a conscious choice that stemmed from the unconscious, where I had to sort of get rid of people or disconnect from people in my life that were on that path, even though I had nothing to do with it, just being somewhat connected to them felt like I was still somehow entangled with their energy. And it felt like if they did something, it felt like it always was somehow still in my like atmosphere almost. And I felt like disconnected, connected to it. So I felt like I had to make a conscious effort to change. But on that point, I wanted to say like, feel free to add on to that as well. But I also wanted to ask, is it possible and how possible is it to just say, like you did, this is it today. I'm not the racist. I'm not the guy that holds prejudice. I'm not the guy that's angry at the world. I'm not the guy that's angry at myself. How possible is it to just say, starting today, no more?
It is, when I say, anyone watching this, anyone listening, if, particularly if you're a man and you are in that world, it is possible more than you could ever believe. But you have to make the choice. You have to stop believing that you are the victim. Like men now, we're it's almost like we're put in this victim mode. We're believing it. Oh, poor me. Oh, what about white men only? And blah, blah, blah. Fuck, shut up. You know what I mean? It's like, it's time to use the angst, the chip on our shoulder that's got us to wherever we are. It's time to use that to do good. It's time to use that to help people. It's time to do that, to use that male kind of like ego that we have to have, and that spirit and that drive and that kind of, you know what I mean, that get up and go that men have got, to use it positively, not to be shady, not to make other people feel what less than, just because we do. It's time to help people. It's time to lift each other up. And I believe that, and that is what Unguarded Warrior does. That's what I created Unguarded Warrior, to lift other men up. To say to men, doesn't matter how big, tough, strong, weak, poor, rich, whatever you are, we're all suffering with the same thing, and that is not enoughness.
Yes. Yeah.
We're suffering with the feeling of not being enough. And that is why we do the things we do, good and bad. So if we can find to look inside, and this is what we try and we teach men and we help men to do, is to look inside and realize that you are enough without all of these things, and to come from a place of abundance, not scarcity. Like, I lived my whole life, you know, in scarcity mode. So I was poor when I was young because I was scared when I was young because I was this, blah, 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 blah. It's coming out of that, letting go of that, shedding that skin, and coming into a new energy and a new power, you know?
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said in that, because if you look at like the journey from a male's perspective, there's no like ceremonial moment where you can say, I'm now a man, like I went and done this. And I think there's a lot of people crying out for that, isn't there? That understanding of how do I shed my old self, my child self, and move into becoming a man?
The initiation. We've lost the initiation process. You're beautiful. You're very obviously very aware of this stuff, and it's great to hear that, you know. But it is, and that is what the younger. So we Unguided Warrior, we run retreats, and we take men who think they're men. We take, because we're all little boys still. We go from little boy to man over a weekend, and it's about initiation. It's about shedding that skin. It's about realizing that we have. What's inside of us? It's what's inside that will get us through, not what we're externally validating our lives with, money, women, you know, power, anything like that. It's what's inside that we will not only fix ourselves, you know, but we will also be able to make the world a better place. And it sounds, you know, like, oh, fluffy, but it doesn't matter. The reality is, to do good, you've got to be good. You know what I mean? There's so many things. You've got to be the kind of person to want to enact change and be and help people, and because that it's where everything comes from. It really is, you know.
And on that point, just switching gears slightly, but still related to the same topic, like. What are your thoughts on the male figures that have sort of popped up recently, especially like on like social media, like anyone from like Silverback Tarzan, the guy, I think he lives in Brighton, and he's always doing pull-ups and doing the human flag on the poles and stuff, and he's ripped to shreds.
Love that guy.
Yeah, like people like that, all the way to like Eddie Abu, who does like the food and goes around Tesco and like tells people about like how to eat properly and like eat like a real person should, all the way to the Jordan Petersons, Andrew Tates, whatever it may be. What are your thoughts on these figures, and is it, do in your advice, is this the way people, especially men, should be taking in information, or do you think they should be looking internally, or how do you think people should start sort of taking action?
So great, mate, great question. I think we have to be very careful of the people that we put on a pedestal for a start, because we're all fallible, we're all human, we all make mistakes. And I think, first of all, we have to be very careful of particularly people in the public eye of either villainizing them or, you know, worshipping them. I think we have to be very level-headed in what we think these days, particularly, well, in all days, I believe. So one of the best things my dad, and the only thing my dad ever said to me, really, that was a real kind of brilliant thing, was there's three sides to every story: yours, mine, and the truth. And yeah, right. I believe in there's many truths. I don't think there is one truth. And people will say, well, my truth is the truth. Well, actually, it isn't. And if you are saying that, then you need to have a real look in the mirror and work out what is going on. Because if you're going around thinking that what comes out of you is the truth, you're very misguided, because we're built up with programming and, you know, views and subconscious and all of these things that go on. And then when we spout something out, even what I'm saying, everything I've just said, doesn't mean that I think or I believe that I'm fully 100% right, you know, or the most knowledgeable one, or even what I've said, you know, my story, whatever happened. It didn't, I don't know if it actually happened like that, you know, because my memory, because, you know, I was emotionally different at times, and it might have clouded my thought in some ways. It might have clouded my recollection. Also, I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone 20 years. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We have to balance all of that in. So then when we see someone spouting this stuff and telling us all these things, yes, it's great to believe them, but we've also got to go, well, hold on, are they right? Are they this? Are they that? Are they living like that? Are they you know, is it for my best interest? So I believe, just like when our parents, when our friends, when our whatever tell us some information, when we read it in a book, whatever we do, we have to balance it against where did it come from? Who is doing it? Who said it? Who, you know, what is their intention? What is their, you know, so I just think we've got to be very balanced in believing or understanding what people say. You know, I think Eddie Abu, great, because I actually believe very much in Eat Natural. And that's one of the, so I've written a book that's coming out soon. And it's 7 rules, you know, how to unleash your inner worry. It'll be something around that. I've got the title locked yet, but it's basically, you know, just breathe, just effing breathe, take ownership, you know, ego at the door. Eat natural, do good, be honest, you know, get outside. Very simple rules. Yeah. And if we live by them, we'll be not only optimally mentally, you know, in a good place, but we'll be healthy as well. And Eddie Abu is great because he believes that. You've got that silverback Tarzan guy, great. You know, he's like amazing because he's very kind of basic, but very kind of cosmic and spiritual, but also just, you know. But then you've got your Andrew Tates and stuff who, great, say some great things. I'm not denying that. But we have to then look at where he made his money and how he made his money. He made his money actually taking money off the people that he says he's trying to help, men. So it doesn't make, he's basically, it doesn't make sense to me, by denigrating women as well. So not only is he treating, you know, whatever went on, the truth or whatever, he made money soliciting women to get money off of men, but yeah, he's saying he's helped men. That doesn't make any sense. Like, he's just a very scared, wounded little boy, you know, he really is. And he's welcome, if you're listening, Andrew, you're welcome to come on one of my retreats for nothing, brother, and we'll welcome you into the Unguarded Warrior.
I love that though, and I think you're right. There's definitely, I feel like the overriding theme is something. I was going to ask, what is the thing that stops anyone from going on to make a change or achieve anything? And I'm starting to feel like it all stems from that child sort of childish feeling and things that happened on in childhood. But do you agree with that? What do you think it is that actually stops people from achieving? Because the things you said there that are going to be in your book are so easy to go out. I'm breathing now. I can just step out my door. I'm outside. Like, they're so easy to achieve, but have such an impact on us on all different levels. So what is it that stops people doing that, in your opinion?
So there's two things I believe. One is, I believe, so to do the deep work. So why I used to drink and do drugs and all of that is because I hated myself. Okay. I hated my life, and I didn't want to face up to that. So it was easier to drink. Like, my dad drank himself to death because there was some pain in his life that he couldn't deal with. He couldn't face it. And it's easier, men particularly, and human beings in general, it's easier to not face stuff and soothe ourselves and self-soothe and, you know, just kind of get away from it than it is to actually face it. Because the only way to face a problem is to go inside, is to look at ourselves and break ourselves down and then rebuild. And it is scary, and it is hard, and it takes work, and it's never ending. That's the issue. But then we get conditioned to the easy way, where it's either eating, drinking, porn, smoking, drugs, whatever it is, we think that's the root because it's giving us a feeling of like forgetting about, taking us away from what is our true, you know, like inner whatever that problem is. And we think it's easier to do that other thing than face the problem. And often the problem isn't as bad as what we've been made to think it is by our own brain. So this is the other thing. The big part of what I'm going to worry is we want to stop male suicide. And I believe male suicide stems from shame. And I believe that we build, and I've been there. I've wanted to end it three times in my life. And it's for different reasons. First was drugs. The other two times were losing everything I had, you know, and that shame that I got from that nearly made me do it. But it was all in my head, you know. You build it up, and men particularly, we build all these feelings up in our head, and then we feel like we're stuck in a corner. Okay, how old are you?
25.
25, right. So you're coming into this, you're starting to realize a lot of different stuff. And I feel like nowadays, you young men, you're realizing a lot more, younger, but it's as if there's still the pull of all this other stuff that's really stopping you. Go, oh, I know what the question was, is the change.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, it's. I feel like the pull of all this other stuff is still so alluring, you know, the pull of like, you know, getting the women and the Lamborghini and the this and the that. And I feel like the lure of that is still so beautiful. It's like, oh, I go towards the shiny things, you know, rather than going inward and realizing that you know, yes, a Lamborghini's nice, but if you've got to look at why you're getting the Lamborghini and why do you need it and why do you want it and what. So I think it's okay to have Lamborghinis and you know, a beautiful wife, and I mean, I've got a pop star wife, you know what I mean? And I like nice things, and you know, but it's why. What's our intention? Why are we doing it? Are we doing it to prove something, or are we doing it because actually that's okay to live that life? But are we doing it, you know, because of, or you know? So I just, and are we doing it nefariously? Are we doing it, you know, at the gain of someone else? That's Andrew Tate. You know, he's getting all this money and power and everything, but he's doing it against the will of other people. We can still attain this stuff by helping other people and doing good and being a good person. You know, I was a fucking drug dealer. You know what I mean? But I okayed it because I was poor when I was young and I didn't have anything, and my poor me and whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, that's what we have to be careful of, is okaying the stuff we're doing. If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And I think, yeah, that sense of self-accountability is one of the themes I've got from this. Letting go of your childhood, or at least working out why things are the way they are, and also sort of having that forward thinking vision, which leads me to my last question. One, what's next for you? Two, how can people get involved? And three, cheekily tying a little bit as well, how important is it for you and for others to be involved in that community and have that sense of community? Because you've had the likes of Scott Thomas at your retreat, and I've seen what he does with his community as well. And I just see like people getting together finally. And it, for me, it just feels refreshing to know that's happening in the world. So yeah, in those, what's next, how do people get involved, and the power of community?
So what's next for me is to get spread the word to, you know, to get men together for a start, to talk, to be able to, because we're not about just turning up talking. That we're action based. We're about, you know, exercising, right, getting outside, you know, getting together, you know, doing stuff. You know, we of my retreats, we do self-defense and jiu-jitsu, and you know, like we, you know, it's not just, you know, we don't just sit there chanting and doing, you know, it's not that. You know, I used to box, I was a pro MMA fighter, so you know, we're about movement. We're like the old school Romans, you know. Your body has to be functioning, you know, as a man. You have to have hardships, and, you know, mentally and physically. because then we release some of the angst that we have. So that's what I believe is, I want to get men together to talk, to be open, to be vulnerable, to be kind, to be strong, to scream, to let go, to all of those good things. And that's through different events that we put on and you know, breathwork classes. You know, I'm a breathwork coach, an oxygen advantage breathwork coach. So cold water is a beautiful thing we do. So it's just building a community. I really want to get a community together. And that's the one thing I'm struggling with. So I'm putting it out there to anyone listening, you, whatever, to try and build a community of men that we can all help each other, lift each other up. That is my goal, is to, my goal, and me and my partner in this, Kane, who's a beautiful human being, is a million men strong, to lift each other up and to come together and to be powerful, good, honest, kind, loving, generous, strong, like insane men. But just that it's all inside, and it's, you know, so that's the thing, like, it's okay to have that madness inside. We have to remember that as men. It's okay to have that animalistic feeling inside, but that's where it can stay. It doesn't have to come out when your wife says something that triggers your little inner child, you know. So we do inner child work stuff. We talk about that. We all of these different things. But yeah, you can find me Instagram, you know, Unguarded Warrior. James O'Keefe NRG on Instagram as well, my personal one, unguardedwarrior.com. We've got retreats coming up, we've got, you know, events coming up, so just reach out, and you know, if you're suffering, if you're struggling, reach out, DM us, and we'll talk and we'll get stuff going. And we want to get a group of men together and just make that bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, we've got WhatsApp groups, I want to start a Facebook group, and just help men to get out of our victim mode and to stop suffering, you know, and particularly in silence, and do something about it, you know.
I love that. And mate, it's been an absolute pleasure and inspiration talking to you today. You've definitely brightened up my morning. It's only 10:30. So thank you so much for your time, and have a great day, mate.
A legend. I appreciate the work you're doing, buddy. I really do. Thank you.